that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be to us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And our gospel reading, which is what we're going to be looking at in a few moments, is in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, and it's on page 971, if you're following in one of the church Bibles. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these." It's a great thought, that. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown onto the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, those that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
It's a wonderful passage, that one we've just looked at. It's one that one knows pretty well, I guess. Lilies of the field and the birds of the air and so on. But I just want to dig in a bit today, because there's some wonderful thoughts behind that. Incredible thoughts, in fact. Let's start from the beginning. We find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus saw the crowds. He went up onto a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, three chapters later, 5, 6, and 7, Jesus came down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him. It was what we now call the Sermon on the Mount. And we tend to think of the Sermon on the Mount as being those first few verses in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, as we call them. But in reality, Jesus was speaking up there for these whole three chapters. And if you just want some interesting reading on Christian living, just spend a quarter of an hour later on today and read Salt and Light, the Fulfillment of the Law. These are the subjects he spoke about: murder, divorce, oaths, an eye for an eye, love for enemies, giving to the needy, prayer, and then the one we're looking at today, do not worry. Jesus spent that time, long time, on the top of the mountain with his disciples and the crowds had all gathered, giving a real in detail talk about Christian living. And our passage starts off with the word therefore. And I've long since learnt that as soon as you see that word in one verse, you go back to see what was in the previous verse. And the therefore comes from the verse Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, and we wheel in to the passage that we're looking at today. Therefore, no one can serve two masters. And one of the things that struck me as I was preparing for today is we automatically in life find ourselves with a foot in both camps. And that's what these children have got here. We've got on one hand God, we've got on the other hand mammon, money. And however hard we try, we're living with both. Those of us who love God, those of us who are Christians sitting here this morning, we are concerned about the things of God, but we're living in a world where money, possessions, are crucial. We can't just say, let's ignore that, and we just live in under a hedge, living naked. We're involved in both areas. No one can serve two masters, and we're going to look a bit more into that, a foot in both camps. And the subject, remember, is worry. That's what Jesus is talking about. I see. I don't know why that's created such enormous mirth. The question I was going to ask is, which of those two is most worried about tomorrow? We smile about it, and as so often is the case, I find, just human life, the family life, is a wonderful illustration of so many things. And as I look at that, I look at little Victor and say, has he got any concern about tomorrow? Now, I can't get into a baby's mind. My suspicion is not. My suspicion is to say, I've got a dad. Let him worry about tomorrow. Just think of that. I've got a dad. Let him worry about tomorrow. We are children of God. We are children of God. But we're not taken away from today's worries. Dear old Victor, I've no doubt let Sylvester and Lovisa know full well if he's a bit unhappy about today. If the tummy's rumbling or if there's a pain somewhere, he lets them know. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And let's get rid of that one quite quickly in our thinking. Paul says, beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul daily faced pressure. Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. And there is some thinking around which is terribly dangerous, that somehow the Christian is taken away from the troubles of the world. Wonderful, sort of frothy, living on a cloud existence, because God is looking after them. God is looking after them, but it isn't like that, is it? We're living with a foot in both camps. We've got ourselves the problems, the pressures of living with daily life. It's not the problems of today that we are protected from. And when Jesus was speaking to these disciples and the crowds, just bear in mind, those disciples, a couple of them were fishermen. They pulled their boats up from the shore, we find, left everything and followed Jesus. They didn't go off to the ATM and get a stack of cash and say, we're going to be away for a time. They didn't pack a bag with three or four changes of clothing. They left and followed Jesus. And therefore, when Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, the clothes you'll wear, the food you'll eat, it was an issue to them. They didn't have a freezer that told them full well there was food there for the next week. The disciples were living day by day. They were trusting in Jesus Christ. To them, it was crucial. Jesus said, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Will he not clothe you much more? You see, anxiety, worry, if you look at it, is actually a lack of trust in God. Isn't that? If we're worrying about tomorrow, if we're worrying about next week, if these things are building up within us, are we not distrusting God? Will he not much look concerned for you? Get the words round my neck. If God clothes the grass which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Will he not? And we believe that, don't we? I do. And yet I find myself then with a foot in both camps. I find myself saying, well, yes, I do. And that nag, that doubt comes in, that foot in both camps. Your Heavenly Father knows what your needs are. Your Heavenly Father knows what your needs are. He says also in this passage, doesn't he, that what are you going to do about extending life? Jesus, God, controls life. God controls life completely. You can't work away and say, ha-ha, I've been to the gym now and I've done this and that there. I've now got another week's life. One of my old friends in the Bible, old Bigger Barnes, built up a wonderful business, you may remember, packed his barns with wheat and said, that's it. I retire. I can live on the proceeds. And what did God say? You fool. You fool. Tomorrow, you die. Our life is in his hands. It's why the rich and the poor don't exist in the sight of God. God controls life, and the rich and the poor are people, have life. It's us here in this world that clothe them. It's us here that give them cars. It's us here that build things around them. And then we say, aha, he's rich. Oh, that one's poor. But to God, life is life. God has created life. And our problem is having a foot in both camps. But let's move on. Our duty, says Jesus in this particular passage, is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Paul says, our duty is to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our duty is to seek. Our duty is to press on. They're duties that God has laid on us if we put our trust, if we put our belief in him. You remember the verse that I used to struggle with in Luke chapter 14, where Jesus said, unless you're going to hate your brother, your sister, and I think that, well, the word hate, of course, is the wrong word to use. One of the Bible commentaries, translations, talks about let go. And that, to me, is what we're talking about here. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What is being said here is let go of other things. It's seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. First. There are other things. Put in both camps, but seek first. That's where our priority comes. And that's where Paul is striving as he talks about getting to the line in the race. Press on towards the goal. Our duty is first. But as our duty is to first look to him, so Jesus makes this wonderful promise. His promise is, all these things will be given to you as well. The things of life that we need, the things in the other camp, where the other foot is, the Bible makes quite clear, all these things will be given to you as well. Don't fear for tomorrow. Problems of today, and if you deal with problems of today, don't fear for tomorrow. Don't fear for tomorrow. We're the child. We're the little victor. And God is Sylvester. But he's an awful lot bigger than I'd ever hoped to be. There's no way we will ever be let down. All these things will be given to you. And we really have got to take that one on board. It's difficult to do it with the problems coming up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, it's fine to then stand there on a Sunday morning and say this, but the reality is that God is our creator. God has created life, and God says, put first my kingdom. And all these things, the food and the clothes, God has made that promise. Let me finish, and I've ever done this before, with half a dozen statements, really. Tom Wright, who's just retired as the bishop and is a real academic, is now at St. Andrews University, I think, said this, and I'll leave it on the screen for a moment, keeping my eye on the watch. The kingdom of God is, at its heart, about God's sovereignty, sweeping the world with love and power, so that human beings, each made in his image, and each one loved dearly, may relax. Take that word away today. May relax in the knowledge that God is in. What is about God's sovereignty, sweeping the world with love and power, so that human beings, each made in his image, each one loved dearly, may relax in the knowledge that God all. What matters is that the kingdom of God is bringing values and priorities of God himself to bear on the greed and anxiety of the world. Those who welcome Jesus and his kingdom message must learn to abandon the latter, the greed and the anxiety, and live by the former. This, don't be preoccupied with getting. To be content in this world, be intent on the next. That's where is your God without personhood of his own? Is your God a foot in two camps? Is our God mammon? Is our God the things of this world? Is that where our first priority is? Or is our God, awful illustration, but lot bigger than Victor. Is your God your father, or is your God without personhood of his own? It's a great, these things will be given to you. Relax